The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, translated by Gregory Hayes, Book 3, Incarnuntum. 1. Not just that every day more of our life is used up and less of it is left, but this too. If we live longer, can we be sure our mind will still be up to understanding the world, to the contemplation that aims at divine and human knowledge? If our mind starts to wander, we'll still go on breathing, go on eating, imagining things, feeling urges, and so on. But getting the most of ourselves, calculating where our duty lies, analyzing what we hear and see, deciding whether it's time to call it quits, all the things you need a healthy mind for, all those are gone. So we need to hurry. Not just because we move daily closer to death, but also because of our understanding. Our grasp of the world may be gone before we get there. 2. We should remember that even nature's inadvertence has its own charm, its own attractiveness. The way loaves of bread split open on top in the ovens, the ridges are just byproducts of the baking, and yet pleasing, somehow. They rouse our appetite without our knowing why, or how ripe figs begin to burst, and olives on the point of falling, the shadow of decay gives them a peculiar beauty. Stalks of wheat bending under their own weight, the furrowed brow of the lion, flecks of foam on the boar's mouth, and other things. If you look at them in isolation, there's nothing beautiful about them, and yet by supplementing nature, they enrich it and draw us in. And anyone with a feeling for nature, a deeper sensitivity, will find it all gives pleasure, even what seems inadvertent. He'll find the jaws of live animals as beautiful as painted ones or sculptures. He'll look calmly at the distinct beauty of old age in men, women, and at the loveliness of children, and other things like that. Call out to him constantly, things unnoticed by others. Things seen only by those at home with nature and its works. 3. Hippocrates cured many illnesses, and then fell ill and died. The Chaldeans predicted the deaths of many others. In due course, their own hour arrived. Alexander, Pompey, Caesar, who utterly destroyed so many cities, cut down so many thousand foot and horse in battle, they too departed this life. Heraclitus often told us the world would end in fire. But it was moisture that carried him off. He died smeared with cow shit. Democritus was killed by ordinary vermin, Socrates by the humankind. And? You boarded. You set sail. You've made passage. Time to disembark. If it's for another life, well, there's nowhere without gods on that side either. If to nothingness, then you can no longer have to put up with the pain and pleasure, or go on dancing attendance on this battered crate, your body, so much inferior to that which serves it. One is mind and spirit, the other earth and garbage. 4. Don't waste the rest of your time here worrying about other people unless it affects the common good. It will keep you from doing anything useful. You'll be too preoccupied with what so-and-so is doing, and why, and what they're saying, and what they're thinking, and what they're up to, and all other things that throw you off and keep you from focusing on your own mind. You need to avoid certain things in your train of thought, everything random, everything irrelevant, and certainly everything self-important or malicious. You need to get used to winnowing your thoughts, so that if someone says, "What are you thinking about?" you can respond at once and truthfully that you are thinking this or thinking that. and it would be obvious at once from your answer that your thoughts were straightforward and considerate ones, the thoughts of any unselfish person, one unconcerned with pleasure and with sensual indulgence generally, with squabbling, with slander and envy, or anything else you'd be ashamed to be caught thinking. Someone like that, someone who refuses to put off joining the elect, is a kind of priest, a servant to the gods, in touch with what is within him and what keeps a person undefiled by pleasures, invulnerable to any pain, untouched by arrogance, unaffected by meanness, an athlete in the greatest of all contests, the struggle not to be overwhelmed by anything that happens. With what leaves us died, indelibly by justice, welcoming wholeheartedly whatever comes, whatever we're assigned, not worrying too often or with any selfish motive about what other people say, or do, or think. He does only what is his to do, and considers constantly what the world has in store for him, doing his best, and trusting all is for the best. For we carry our fate with us, and it carries us. He keeps in mind that all rational things are related, and that to care for human beings is part of being human. Which doesn't mean we have to share their opinions. We should listen only to those whose lives conform to nature. And the others? He bears in mind what sort of people they are, both at home and abroad, by night as well as day, and who they spend their time with, and he cares nothing for their praise. Men who can't even meet their own standards. 5. How to act. Never under compulsion, out of selfishness, without forethought, with misgivings. Don't gussy up your thoughts, no surplus words or unnecessary actions. Let the spirit in you represent a man, an adult, a citizen, a Roman, a ruler, taking up his post like a soldier and patiently waiting his recall from life, needing no oath or witness. Cheerfulness, without requiring other people's help, or serenity supplied by others. To stand up straight, not straightened. 6. If at some point in your life you should come across anything better than justice, honesty, self-control, courage, then a mind satisfied that it has succeeded in enabling you to act rationally, and satisfied to accept what beyond its control. If you find anything better than that, embrace it without reservations. It must be an extraordinary thing indeed, and enjoy it to the full. But if nothing presents itself that's superior to the spirit that lives within, the one that has subordinated individual desires to itself, that discriminates among impressions, that is broken free of physical temptations, as Socrates used to say, and subordinated itself to the gods, and looks out for human beings' welfare, if you find that there's nothing more important or valuable than that, then don't make room for anything but it, for anything that might lead you astray, tempt you off the road, and leave you unable to devote yourself completely to achieving the goodness that is uniquely yours. It would be wrong. Wrong for anything to stand between you and attaining goodness as a rational being and a citizen. Anything at all, the applause of a crowd, high office, wealth, or self-indulgence, all of them might seem to be compatible with it for a while. But suddenly they control us and sweep us away. So make your choice straightforwardly, once and for all, and stick to it. Choose what's best. Best is what benefits me. As a rational being, then follow through. Or just as an animal, then say so, and stand your ground without making a show of it. Just make sure you've done your homework first. 7. Never regard something as doing you good if it makes you betray a trust, or lose your sense of shame, or makes you show hatred, suspicion, ill will, hypocrisy, or a desire for things best done behind closed doors. If you can privilege your own mind, your guiding spirit, and your reverence for its powers, that should keep you clear of dramatics, of wailing, and gnashing of teeth. You won't need solitude, or a cast of thousands either. Above all, you'll be free of fear and desire, and how long your body will contain the soul that inhabits it will cause you not a moment's worry. If it's time for you to go, leave willingly, as you would to accomplish anything that can be done with grace and honor. And concentrate on this, your whole life long, for your mind to be in the right state, the state a rational, civic mind should be in. 8. The mind of one set straight and purified, no pus, no dirt, no scabs, and not a life cut short by death, like an actor who stops before the play is done, the plot wound up. Neither servility nor arrogance, neither cringing nor disdain, neither excuses nor evasions. 9. Your ability to control your thoughts, treat it with respect. It's all that protects your mind from false perceptions, false to your nature, and that of all rational beings. It's what makes thoughtfulness possible, and affection for other people, and submission to the divine. 10. Forget everything else. Keep hold of this alone and remember it. Each of us lives only now, this brief instant. The rest has been lived already, or is impossible to see. The span we live is small, small as the corner of the earth in which we live in. Small as even the greatest renown, passed from mouth to mouth by short-lived stick figures, ignorant alike of themselves and those long dead. 11. To the standbys above, add this one. Always to define whatever it is we perceive, to trace its outline, so we can see what it really is, its substance, stripped bare, as a whole, unmodified, and to call it by its name, the thing itself and its components, to which it will eventually return. Nothing is so conductive to spiritual growth as the capacity for logical and accurate analysis of everything that happens to us. To look at it in such a way that we understand what need it fulfills, and in what kind of world, and its value to that world as a whole, and to man in particular, as a citizen of that higher city, of which all other cities are mere households. What is it, this thing that now forces itself upon my notice? What is it made out of? How long was it designed to last? And what qualities do I need to bring to bear on it? Tranquility, courage, honesty, trustworthiness, straightforwardness, independence, or what? So in each case you need to say, this is due to God, or this is due to the interweavings and intertwinings of fate, to coincidence or chance, or this is due to a human being, someone of the same race, the same birth, the same society, but who doesn't know what nature requires of him, but I do. And so I'll treat them as the law that binds us, the law of nature requires, with kindness and with justice. And in inconsequential things, I'll do my best to treat them as they deserve. 12. If you do the job in a principled way, with diligence, energy, and patience, if you keep yourself free of distractions and keep the spirit inside of you undamaged, as if you were to give it back at any moment, if you can embrace this without fear or expectation, can find fulfillment in what you're doing as nature intended, and in superhuman truthfulness, every word, every utterance, then your life will be happy. No one can prevent that. 13. Doctors keep their scalpels and other instruments handy for emergencies. Keep your philosophy ready, too. ready to understand heaven and earth. In everything you do, even the smallest thing, remember the chain that links them. Nothing earthly succeeds by ignoring heaven. Nothing heavenly by ignoring the earth. 14. Stop drifting. You're not going to reread your brief comments, your deeds of the ancient Greeks and Romans, the commonplace books you saved for your old age. Sprint for the finish. Write off your hopes. And if your well-being matters to you, be your own savior while you can. 15. They don't realize how much is included in stealing, sowing, buying, resting, seeing to business. Not with the eyes, but another kind of sight. 16. Body, soul, mind. Sensations, the body. Desires, the soul. Reasoning, the mind. To experience sensations. Even grazing beasts do that. To let your desires control you. Even wild animals do that. And rutting humans and tyrants. From Valerius to Nero. To make your mind your guide to what seems best. Even people who deny the gods do that. Even people who betray their country. Even people who do behind closed doors. If all the rest is common coin, then what is unique to the good man? To welcome with affection what is sent by fate. Not to strain or disturb the spirit within him with a mess of false beliefs. Instead, to preserve it, faithfully, by calmly obeying God, saying nothing untrue, doing nothing unjust. And if the others don't acknowledge it, this life lived with simplicity, humility, cheerfulness, he doesn't resent them for it. And it isn't deterred from following the road where it leads. To the end of life. An end to be approached in purity, in serenity, in acceptance, in peaceful unity with what must be.